Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
Amen. The Bible says, I'm going to need y'all to help me preach it. The Bible don't say that, but I'm just letting you know. I'm going to need y'all to help me preach it. Amen. Don't act like I'm tired because he lives. Uh-uh. Don't do that. The Bible says God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the ungodly. Murder. Mayhem, suicide, genocide, missing planes, famine, persecution, terrorism. Now, Jesus said that in this world, we will have trouble. Somebody say trouble. This world is full of trouble. This world is full of fear. This world is full of anger. This world is full of pain. And this world is full of terror. People don't know what to believe, so they are confused. And confusion causes chaos. And chaos causes violence. The Bible says we are living in the last and evil days. It says there will be trouble. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. Somebody say form. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Now, I don't know about you, but this sounds like Oakland circa 2014 to me. Then it goes on to say, have nothing to do with such people. Now, I know some of you in here are thinking, well, then I ain't got nobody to hang out with. Then you better off alone. The violence has gotten senseless. The violence has gotten extreme. There was a time when people would die for a cause. But you made me mad is not a good enough reason to kill somebody. And I disrespected you is not a good enough reason to die. People have gotten so far away from the sanctity of life, they wouldn't recognize it if it jumped up and slapped them in the face. And there are plenty of so-called Christians out there professing Christ. I know you know. Most of the brothers out in the streets who are about that life will tell you they accepted Christ at an early age, but they just don't do church. Well, they just ought to be glad that church is not the requirement for salvation. Hallelujah, somebody. You ought to say hallelujah for the one that's gone, but you know he got in. Because it's one thing to have accepted him, but it's a whole nother other thing to decide that you're going to live your life for him. Now, the bad news is, and I hate to break it to you, things are not going to get better. Uh-oh. I know Jesse Jackson said keep hope alive. Keep it alive. not saying don't lose hope, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. Things are not going to get better. Things are going to get worse because we are living in the last days. But the child of God ought to be thankful for the power in the name of Jesus and in the blood of Jesus. It's two or three people thankful for the name and the blood. It's only two or three. Because if more of you will start living what you believe out on a daily basis, guess what? We will see pockets of improvement. Now, we are spiraling to the end. But if more people would start living saved, we would see pockets of improvement. We will see less violence in our streets. And our children, don't miss this, parents, will have a chance at a life worth living if we make sure that the truth of Jesus doesn't die with us. There's a song that I have fallen in love with. And it says, I need just a little more Jesus. I need just a little more Jesus. I need just a little more Jesus to help me along the way. So today, Resurrection 2014, I'm going to be coming to you from the theme, we need just a little more Jesus. We need just a little more Jesus to help us along the way. We are taking his word to the world. That is our theme for the year, family. Isn't that right? We've been learning how to be about the business of Christ, to have our message and our actions and our behavior and our appearance all be interrelated so that there's no compromise or contradiction in our witness. Amen, somebody? And so today, of course, we're going to be taking a look at the resurrection story. And you already know he lives. You already know he rose. You know the stone was rolled away. You heard them sing about it. But we're going to take a look at what the Bible says. And then God has called me to excavate that word and to pull out some pearls that you can take home and turn it into whatever you need to in order to live for him. Because we know he lives, but what the question is, do you live? Because there is no life without Jesus. I'm glad somebody gets that. Open up your Bibles or your electronic devices to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Thank you, Lord. We need just a little more Jesus. If you help me preach, we're going to get somewhere today. Matthew 28. It's the first book in the Old New Testament, and it's the last chapter in that book. Matthew 28. Somebody still looking for 28? That's right. It's come right after 27. It's all right. Take your time. We're not in a hurry, are we? All right. We're not gonna rush this word today. We'll talk about that later. Matthew 28, starting with verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Do you have the visual? His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes, his raiment, was as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became as dead men. They fainted, y'all. But they shook before they fainted. Y'all missed the shaking because you was looking at the word, which is what you're supposed to be doing. The angel, verse 5, said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said." Can we get a hallelujah on that? "Come and see the place where he used to lay." Is it all right if I jump in between translations? All right. "Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Verse 8. "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" This is the good news that the child of God should celebrate every day of our lives. Unfortunately, some of the children of God only celebrate it on what the world calls Easter. We don't call it Easter because the Easter bunny didn't save me. Isn't that right, Mother Joy? Can you picture the Easter bunny on the cross? Now, I was at an event yesterday, and I saw the Easter bunny dancing and breaking it down. But I did not see him on the cross. We call it resurrection because he rose. Now, Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, being fully human and fully divine before he died, was now in his glorified state where he was fully divine. But the beauty in him being glorified is that you could still see him, hear him, and touch him. The beauty in Jesus being glorified is that he would still break bread with his disciples. He could still eat and have meals with his disciples. But the exciting thing about Jesus being glorified, if you know your word, he could pop up right here, and then in one more second, he could pop up in somewhere else. He could pop up over there, then he could pop up over here. He wasn't bound by time and space any longer. That's a glorified God right there. That's a glorified God that can be in all these different places at the blink of an eye. Now stay with me. I'm going somewhere, family. I'm going somewhere if you just help me preach this thing, because there's a lot that goes unsaid during the resurrection season, and the Lord has given me license, if you will, to dig a little bit deeper, because the story has been talked about and sung about all the live long day. Now, we're not tired of the story, amen, but is it okay if we go deeper into the story? Because they're pearls for you to take home with you, for whosoever will, for he who has ears to hear. Jesus told his disciples three different times that he was going to die, that he had to die. And let me just say that those were the three recorded times. times, because there were conversations that he had with his family and friends that are not recorded in the Bible. But we can count on the fact that there were at least three different times that Jesus told his disciples that he was going to die, and that on the third day, somebody say third day, he would rise from the dead, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up. The chief priests got all offended because they thought he was talking about the temple that was built by man. But he wasn't talking about the temple that was built by man. He was talking about the temple that was sent by God. God is a promise keeper. It doesn't matter if we don't understand what he's saying. It doesn't matter if we didn't hear it right the first, second, or third time. What God says, God is going to do. If the disciples understood this and believed it with their whole heart, the other 10 would have been at the cross with John and Mary. But they were so grieved because they felt they were losing their Savior, their brother, their best friend. They didn't focus on what he said. See, that's what happens to us. We don't focus on what he said. We focus on what they said. And we make what they said gospel, when the only thing that is gospel is what he said. God is a promise keeper. If he said it, he's going to do it. Don't get caught up in the fact that it didn't come when you wanted it to come. Some of you already know the answer to this, but I'm going to tell you why it didn't show up yet. You ain't ready for it yet. You ain't ready. You might think you're ready. You might want to be ready. You might have saw somebody else that was ready. But if you don't have it yet, you ain't ready for it yet. That car, that man, that woman, that deliverance, whatever it is you think you want, that you think you ought to have, if you don't have it yet, it's not that he didn't promise it. It's that you ain't ready. Because you've been focusing on what they said and not focusing on what he said. He promised his disciples that he was going to rise from the dead. Now, you know what? Okay, help me, Holy Ghost. They saw Lazarus. They were there when Jesus said, Lazarus! And Lazarus come walking out the tomb, looking like me with his grave clothes on. Why couldn't they believe it? Why, Minister Favor, why couldn't they believe it when they saw Lazarus not too long ago? Not just maybe a couple months ago. They were there. They knew he was dead for 4 days. So why couldn't they believe it? Well, I don't know. Why can't you believe what he says to you? Why are you so worried about why they couldn't believe it and you struggling with your own unbelief? Yeah, it's time to start believing what he says. Because you know what? He's an on-time God. You know what they always say. He may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. Now, that may sound like one of them church cliches, and I don't care if it does. Check the record. It's as true now as it has ever been. He will show up for you in the nick of time. I don't know how my rent's going to get paid, but God promised me I would not be evicted, so that means he's going to show up for me. See, we get too busy being in his business. Well, how you going to show up, Lord? When you going to show up, Lord? Who you going to show up through, Lord? You know what? That ain't none of your business. That's what happens. We get caught up being all up in God's business when we need to be busy being about our own business. What is our business? Believe. Our business is to believe. And let me tell you something. That'll keep you busy all day long. Because stuff will rise up in a given day. And we just be jumping in and out of self all day long, just jumping inside. We just doing a little dance all through the workplace. Jumping in and out of self. Just stay out of self. Sit self down. Shut self up. And know that God's timing is the perfect timing. Believe it. Receive it. He is an on-time God. And somebody in here is waiting on something. But you know what? This is the revelation God told me to give somebody. I don't even know. I don't know if you're a guest or a member, but God said, it's right behind you. You've been standing in the way. Step to the side. Let Jesus move on up. And on your way to the side, while you're stepping to the side, just say to yourself, I need just a little more Jesus. That's all you got to say. I can shout off of that right now. He going to show up. I'm trying to tell you, he's an on-time God. He's been there all the while, and you've been looking, but you never did do this. And when you did do that, you was looking at your past. You was looking over Jesus and looking into your past. Talking about the good old days. Remember the good old days? They dead and gone. What you wasting your time on the good old days? Why not look forward to the good new days? Because my God told me the best is yet to come. I might be halfway through my life, but he said the best is yet to come. And I believe him. I work hard every day to believe him. Woo, I need just a little more Jesus. So, there was an angel at the tomb, right? There was an earthquake. There was an angel. The angel rolled the stone away and began to have a conversation with Mary and Mary. And by the way, neither one of those Marys was the mother. Because they wouldn't call the other Mary. They wouldn't call Mary the mother of Jesus, the other Mary. She's not the other Mary. She's the Mary. Everybody else is the other Mary. Now, when you read your Bible, it might appear through the Old Testament and the New that angels showed up all the time. But they didn't. It's just how it's read. Because you could read in Genesis and Exodus and see about the angels, and you could read in Matthew and Luke and see about the angels, but it was a whole lot of time that went between angels showing up and appearing. But what God wants us to get is that miracles were being worked out through this resurrection in the form of him rising from the dead and then showing up, having the ministers or the messengers of God showing up. Now, if you heard the story, you heard that Jesus showed up also and gave the same message to the Marys that the angel gave. So Jesus technically didn't have to show up because the Marys were on their way to tell the disciples what the angel said. But God wanted the angel to show up so that they would believe in miracles. When is the last time you had a miracle in your life? When is the last time God showed up miraculously for you? Now, I believe that God shows up every day. It's a miracle to wake up in the morning. But the last big testimony that I have about how God showed up for me, is it okay if I share that? Now, if you know anything about your pastor, you know I like to dance. I mean, I like to. I love to dance for Jesus. Some of y'all know better than others if you was here on Friday night. But that's not what I'm talking about right now. Couple of weeks ago, I was getting my dance on for the Lord right around in this area right here. And the Holy Ghost within me had my body bent all back in some kind of way I can't do for you right now. And I was so bent back, I could not come up again. And there was a few people that saw me, and they were like, she's going down. There was nothing. There was no power within me to come up out of the bend, but the witnesses saw the power of God. He did this for me. He rose me up. He miraculously protected me from the fall my body was on the way to. And I told them, I said, I don't know if it was the ministering angels. God just said, that's what it was. I ain't got to tell you what I thought the other thing was. It was the ministering angels that were right there to keep me from the fall. Now, I want you to know, he wasn't keeping me from the fall just so I wouldn't fall. Because, see, when you fall in the spirit, you don't get hurt. He was keeping me from the fall because it would have become a distraction in the worship. 45 people would have ran up here to try to catch Pastor, including Lil Mervin, because he'd be watching everything I do. There are miracles every day all around us, but we miss it. We miss the miracle in traffic because we didn't have the accident. Yeah. And then we drive past another accident and we don't pray for them. Good. We just ought to pray because there could still be a miracle in the crash. Because sometimes there needs to be an accident for God to show up. So if you go back and check your own record, think about the accidents that you have had, and you will learn that there's no accidents in God. There's only intention in God. When it happens, God meant for it to happen. And just because you didn't get the message doesn't mean he wasn't sending one. But there's more testimonies about how God blocked it than there are about the crashes in our lives. God wanted the Marys to know and to believe in miracles, to believe in the possibilities of the impossibilities, because it wasn't enough to just have an empty tomb. Y'all don't hear me. It wasn't enough for them to just go in the tomb, be empty. That wasn't going to increase their faith. Because there's another part of the story that Matthew doesn't tell, where Mary goes and asks the gardener, did you take the body? Give it to me and I'll take care of it. So the angel had to show up so that they would have a faith increase. That's the beauty of a miracle. Not just the miracle itself, because don't you know, if I would have fell on my back, I would have kept worshiping right there. Arminthia, you know, I would have kept on worshiping right there. So the miracle, it's not just about the miracle, it's about what is accomplished. It's about what is accomplished as a result of the miracle. Still talking about we need just a little more Jesus. We need just a little more Jesus. Now, Jesus, I just, I just love how he reveals himself to the faithful. Now, let me just say that he reveals himself to the unfaithful, but the unfaithful miss it. They miss the miracles. They miss the manifestations. They sit down when he shows up. But for the faithful, for the ones that believe God in prayer, I'm talking about the Marys. Because he led the Marys to the tomb. They weren't a part of the 12. They weren't a part of the 12. They were his disciples, but they weren't a part of the 12. They had an increased faith. They believed and did not doubt, which is why they were chosen. Somebody say chosen. They were chosen to be the first witnesses of his resurrection. He shows up for the faithful. You got that one? Speaking of chosen, it bears repeating, especially on a day like this, that there is a theology that's God talk about the chosen and the condemned. There are some people that are chosen, and there are some that are not. It's uncomfortable when all we can see is the world that we live in. But when we have an understanding that we were here in existence before we were ever in these bodies, then we would have an understanding that just like the angels and the demons, they were, some were chosen and some were condemned. Don't think for one moment that God did not know that Lucifer was going to declare war in heaven and take one third of all the angels who then became the demons. Do you think God was surprised? You can't surprise God. Who do you think you are that you think you can surprise God? Doesn't that sound ridiculous? I'm not going to let God in on this one. What? He know all your business. Matter of fact, he know the business you ain't even thought of yet. That's how much of your business he knows. But see, that's why he loves us, because he don't see us as we are right now. He sees us in our completed state, in our glorified state, when his work is done with us. So you might look at yourself and see one thing, think that's who you are. I know you think you know who you are. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. You ain't nothing but a baby. Yeah, you his baby, but you still a baby, thinking you know who you are. I didn't include myself because I already know I don't know who I am. I already know. But what I do know is I'm chosen. I'm not condemned. What I do know is that God saw something in me even though I am a wretch. God saw something in me when I was leading other people to hell. God saw something in me when I was trying to kill myself off with the stuff I was putting in my body. I was chosen, even though I was living condemned. Because you know how somebody could look at a house and call it condemned, and another person could look at it and call it a fixer-upper? Just call me a fixer-upper. Because I ain't condemned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a fixer-upper. I'm not condemned. So Jesus, in his resurrection, brought light to the fact that we can all be saved, that we can accept him as our personal savior and we will be saved. The Bible doesn't say, although I highly recommend it, but it doesn't say you have to go to church to be saved. That's why it's a lot of church hurt folk in the world, because somebody told them, you got to dress like this to be saved. You got to talk like that to be saved. You got to stop smoking that to be saved. You got to stop drinking that to be saved. You got to stop having sex with him, her, them in order to be saved. I hate to break it to you. Matter of fact, I love to break it to you. Those are all lies from the pit of hell. That's the devil trying to put you in a box that has salvation on it, but it's leading you right to hell. Because for the church folk in the 21st century, we got to bring the truth to the people. We got to let them know it's not about how you dress, even though certain body parts we don't need to see in church. But just because we see your nipples don't make you unsaved. You still saved. I said nipples. It's a lot of y'all in here that got them. What? I don't want to see them. But even if you don't cover them up, you're still saved. We got a whole lot of folk that still love smoking that herb. Do y'all call it herb? No, that's old school. That show you how long it's been since I smoked it, okay? You can still smoke weed and be saved. I didn't know that. I was smoking weed back in the day. Back in the day. But I accepted Christ at an early age. But they didn't tell me once saved, always saved. So I thought when I smoked weed, I wasn't saved no more. But guess what I did? I was still smoking weed. It wasn't until I got enlightened, once I had stopped smoking the weed, that I found out, oh, I was saved back then. The Holy Ghost was living on the inside of me back then. I had Jesus smoking all that weed with me. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to make you get high with me. But even if you still smoke it, you saved. You know, if some of y'all wasn't scared, you'd be jumping and shouting right about now. Just, oh, yeah, hallelujah, I'm still saved. I'm saved. How? You know you want to do a dance. Jesus' resurrection. This is not Tommy T's. All right? This is not the comedy club. Jesus wants to make sure through his resurrection that we don't define ourselves by our flesh. Uh-oh, I know y'all about to get quiet. Don't care, as long as you're listening. Because sometimes that's the best way to listen, is to be quiet. Jesus proved by his resurrection that we should not define ourselves by our flesh. Look at what happened to his flesh. His flesh was torn beyond recognition. He was bleeding from every place he could bleed from. His own mother could not recognize him, but she recognized his spirit. The world would have us define ourselves by our flesh. I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm cute, I'm ugly, and all that other stuff. From the head to the feet to the nails to the whatever. We try to meet the standard of the world. And meanwhile, our spirit has gone unattended to. And the Lord gave me a good revelation a while back. He said, if your sexuality is more important than your spirituality, there's a problem with your process. If your sexuality, I don't care what sexual orientation you are, he's not defining or talking about one sex or if you're straight or gay. He's talking about if you define yourself sexually and it is more important than your spirituality, there's a problem with your process. If it's more important about where you gonna get some, how you gonna get some, what you gonna dress, how you gonna dress so they gonna want some, there's a problem with your process. If you talking to yourself and saying, I can't live without sex, that used to be me too. Sorry, mama and daughter, but that used to be me. But you know what? I continue to seek him anyway. I didn't stop seeking him just because I still had this thing I was doing over here. I continued to pursue God because there was something good about it. It was something real good about Jesus that I couldn't deny. I might not have been ready to let that go just yet, but it was something good over here that I wasn't going to let go of either. And they might have tried to tell me you can't do both at the same time, but I'm here to tell you, yes, you can for a season. You can't do it forever because either one going to get you or the other going to get you. But there's a sweet spot in the spirit where you can still be participating in all your sin and still be growing up and falling in love with him. There's a sweet spot in the spirit where you can do both at the same time for a season. But if you continue to grow in him, you're going to let that go. It's not going to be as important as it was. You're going to find out, oh, I can do without the thing I thought I could never do without. Why? Because I'm not living by my flesh. I'm living by my spirit. That's what the resurrection teaches us. Do not live by the flesh. Live by the spirit. And watch God show up for you. Because here's the good news. What you can't do, he can do. What you think you can't do, you need to know God can do. So, don't leave here just deciding, oh, I'm just going to be holy in every area of my life. I'm going to let go of this, him, her, them, all of that today. Don't set yourself up for failure, boo. Just make a decision to live for him. You might still be working out some stuff over here. You might not be ready to let some stuff go. I'm here to tell you that's all right for now. That's all right. God don't want you to be perfect. He knew what you was going to do before you did it anyway. But just start cultivating this area. Start cultivating. Start working on, start nurturing and developing your spirit and see what you will release. See, you know, sometimes people think deliverance occurs with a decision. No, it doesn't. Deliverance starts with a decision. But deliverance doesn't occur until time has passed by and you look back and say, oh, I'm not that one anymore. Oh, I don't do what I used to anymore. That's deliverance. See, a lot of people get all upset because they testify. They get up and go, I'm delivered. Taking God's word to the world, I'm delivered. No, you're not. You just decided that you didn't want to smoke cigarettes no more. You ain't delivered yet. Sit down. Shut up. see us about 3 months later. If you still ain't took a smoke, you can have a testimony. We need just a little more Jesus. We need just a little more Jesus. Let me tell you. Can you imagine how different this life would be if you had just a little more Jesus in your home? Just a little more Jesus in your job, at your school, in your friends, with your relationships, in your body. How would it be different if you had just a little more Jesus in your life? Don't you know people around you would be kinder, gentler, more forgiving, more loving? People would give you the benefit of the doubt instead of shooting you first and asking questions later. God says, be in the world, but not of the world. So while this is a come as you are ministry, because we don't want anybody to think they can't come just because they don't have a certain wardrobe, there still ought to be a difference, not just in our outer exterior or our outer message, but there should be a difference in what's coming out of our mouths as well. You know, I've been a preacher for, what, almost 25 years. Love me some Jesus. Can you tell? Love me some Jesus. But I'm not that kind of person that's just going to beat you up in the head with the word. Oh, how you doing? Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm doing just fine. I'm blessed in the Lord, blessed and highly favored. That's just too much. That turns people off. I love Jesus, and it turns me off. That's not what it means to have just a little more Jesus. Because, see, Jesus ought to be in the way we speak to one another. It ought to be in what we're saying to one another. It doesn't have to be the word quoted for verbatim, but it ought to have the word underlying it. Where you're not literally quoting scripture exactly, but you're sharing love with whoever it is you're coming in contact with. That's what would happen if we decided to live in the world but not be of the world. We would have different expectations of ourselves and other people. Some of us have been judging ourselves by the standards of the world, and you walk around here all depressed and down because you can't fit in a size 2. Look, you wasn't built to fit in a size 2. Add a 1 to that, or maybe another 2. And that might be your reality. Don't think you know, the ethnic people, we got big bones. We got strong skeletons. Get bone thin and you still weighing more than the little white lady over here. And then you walking around all defeated because you're not as light as she is. Oh, okay. I had a whole nother thing, but we're not going to go there. Just know that God is asking us to check our own behavior and ask, how does our life impact the life of others? Are they glad to see us? Are they sad when we're gone? Do we stress people out? Do we make them feel bad about themselves? Are we judgmental? Do we look down at other people? Are we hypocritical? Do we think we're better than others? You might not ever say that. It might not ever come out of your mouth. You may speak to them as sweetly as I'm speaking to you now, but do you have an air of superiority about you? Where when you walk away, they talk about you? Because some people hate phony. I know. I don't like phony either. And when I come in the presence of phony, guess what happens? Phony gets talked about. That's just what it is. The Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We're taking his word to the world. We need just a little more Jesus. And in order for Jesus to show up just a little bit more, we've got to be able to appreciate the blood. The blood of Jesus that was shed for me. The blood of Jesus that came down out of every area of his body. I'm trying to tell you, there was no place on Jesus' body that was not bleeding from his head to his feet. And there was some lashing on his body that was just for me. It might have been that whipping on his side. It might have been that lashing on his back. It might have been one of the thorns that pierced his head. But there was a lashing. There was some blood on his body that was shed for me. And because of that, I can overcome. What can I overcome? Anything that the world or the devil tries to put in my way. It's time out for defeated Christians. It's time out for acting like I have no power. And you walk around with the Holy Ghost in you. You know that's like having $1 million. And you walk around asking somebody, can I borrow some money? Stop acting like you don't have no power. You got all the power. Did you hear what I said? Not some of the power. All of the power. Whatever power you need to overcome whatever's coming up against you, you have the power within you to do. But why haven't you done it? Because you don't believe it. It's time to get to work. Believe. Believe. And the word of their testimony. So I got to tell somebody. I can't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. I know some of y'all are like, well, my testimony is not a big testimony. It's no such thing as a small testimony. If God did it, it's a testimony. That's all there is to it. It could have been a parking space. Hallelujah, somebody. I have danced behind a parking space before. And I will dance behind a parking space again. Because I didn't do it. God did it. No such thing as a little testimony. Don't be comparing your testimony. Well, he didn't bless me with a car yet, but did he bless you with feet? Then you ought to be excited. And she will, in case y'all didn't know. So Jesus says for us to take his word into the world. How's that working out? How's that going so far? Do more people know Jesus because of you? Do more people love Jesus because of you? Today, family, is the day to rededicate ourselves to the cause of Christ. There's a whole lot of causes out there, and I'm not saying don't be behind any other cause, but don't put any of those other causes in front of the cause of Christ. As a matter of fact, stall yourself out on the other causes till you get your cause for Christ in check. Because I know I took it back, didn't I? With stall it out. Mama Free know what I'm talking about. Mama Carla know what I'm talking about. There's a whole lot of unutilized or underutilized Jesus inside of all of his Christians. We have all been in a position where we were in the need of Jesus, and we did not call upon him. There are times and places where we should have called upon him, and we did not. Where we should have trusted in him, and we did not. Where we should have depended upon him, and we did not. We need just a little more Jesus. Family, our season of fasting is complete. Hallelujah, somebody. It is finished. Somebody said they made it. Hallelujah. I made it too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But now the question is, while you looking forward to what you can eat today. When you look back on the last 6 weeks, do you see a change? Have you been delivered? Has there been an evolution in you? Because the point of coming out of this fast is to be different, to be better, to have transformed and evolved in some kind of way. Amen? Is there more Jesus at work inside of you now? Do you have more peace? Because all the violence that we see and feel is as a result of the fact that there's too much hate in the world. We're quick to hate and slow to love. We need to be slow to hate and quick to love. There's too much devil, not enough Jesus. If there were more love, there would be less violence. But the devil likes to use violence to distract us from God. Because you know, Oakland is a city that is grieving because we've lost so many of our sons and daughters, of our brothers and sisters. We're hurting. We are in so much pain. And then on top of it, we feel hopeless. And then on top of that, the violence is perpetuated. It's not stopping. We don't know how to stop it because the only one who can stop it is Jesus. We need just a little more Jesus. Because the devil, let me tell you something about the devil. Can I have just a few more minutes? I'm almost done. But the devil, he thought he had us. He thought he had us when he tricked Eve in the garden. He thought he had us when Isaac was about to die on that sacrifice. He thought he had us when Jacob worked for 14 years to get his wife, Rachel. He thought he had us when the children of Israel got exiled out of the promised land, not once but twice. He thought he had us when Jesus came down and ended up dying on the cross. I'm trying to tell you, the devil thought he had us, but the devil is a liar. And there's been a whole lot that's been coming up against us since Jesus has raised from the dead, and we are still here. If slavery didn't get us, if genocide didn't get us, if sexual abuse, if self-hatred, if poverty, if homelessness, if drug addiction didn't get us, if prostitution, low self-esteem didn't get us, if divorce, single parenting, generational curses didn't get us, if these things didn't destroy us, what makes the devil think he can get us now? We are victorious. He is the defeated foe. The devil is defeated. He has no power. When the children of God decide not to trust in him, but to trust in God, he has no power. When we decide we're going to believe what God says and not what they say, I'm trying to tell you, we have all the Jesus that we need. We just not using all the Jesus that we have. That's why we need just a little more Jesus. Amen, somebody. Amen.